The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, and my co-producer and technical engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, what a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. It's just so hard to believe that we're just surviving from a fire and all the different things that are going to be that we're doing in the community. I'm going to have a short interview in a bit with Councilwoman Julie Combs. She's going to talk about the migrant education program, and also we have a special donation that came in that I'm really, really excited about. Well, I have two special guests joining me in the studio this morning. I have Mary Moore and Karen Sari, who are both activists in our community, and they were very involved. What we're going to be talking about this morning is a bit of history in Sonoma County, a report that both Mary and Karen, along with others, made happen, provided by the California Advisory Committee to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights about communities' concerns about law enforcement here in Sonoma County. You know, I've been very curious about this report. It came to my attention during the Andy Lopez situation, and I'm really glad that we are going to have Mary and Karen here to give us a bit of, you know, a bit of background, you know, a little background about what's going on in our community. Also joining me on the phone will be Councilwoman Julie Combs, like I said, and we'll be talking about the migrant education program and their needs since the fire. You know, it's really, really interesting. And my granddaughter, Amber Jensen, did an amazing thing up in Laytonville that I'm going to talk about really briefly. Well, I have a special announcement. There will be a meeting of the Santa Rosa City Council members and the Board of Supervisors. They're going to have a combination so you can get to see them all together. And that's going to be tomorrow, Tuesday, November 7th at 4 p.m. at the Utilities Field Operations Building on 35 Stony Point Road from 4 p.m. on. And they're going to be have a large discussion about the fire discovery, I guess, recovery date and all it entails. You know, and folks, you need to show up. You need to show up. Even if your home has not been destroyed, we all need to be there supporting one another. This is a very serious situation that has happened in our community. And, you know, one of the things that came out for me after being in the evacuation zone, there's no you, there's no me, there's no them, there's no us, there's only all of us. All of us, we are a community of people. You know, I was listening to the radio this morning, and I could not believe that here a man, and I don't know if you folks remember the interviews that I did with Harriet Fraud, who was a psychologist, talking about the emotional problems that some Caucasian men are having, and that could be one of the reasons why there's so many of these horrors going on. I mean, 26 people? You know, a man just walks in with a rifle and just pulls the trigger and 26 people die. I mean, something is not right here. Something is just not right here. And then our president goes on the air and says that we were really lucky that there was another gunman to shoot him and kill him. So in other words, let's have more violence. Let's have violence, then more violence to take care of the violence. And before you know it, all we have is violence. You know, I think it's time for women to stand up and get really loud. They're killing our children. A baby was killed. You know, that breaks my heart. Life is taken without their permission. You know, we need to start looking at it. I think it's very interesting that we're going to have this discussion about oversight, et cetera, here this morning in light of what happened. It's really very sad. Really is. I mean, it's hard for me to even think about it, you know, as a mother, as a grandmother. I can't imagine. I always think of those phone calls, you know, after something horrific like this happens and there's a phone call telling you that maybe your child or your husband or your, you know, your best friend has been killed. I mean, it's heartbreaking. Well, let's look a little bit at public and access radio here. One another thing that I learned, I mean, I really learned during this fire, during the time that I was in the evacuation, and that was the importance of community radio, the importance of local radio. And, you know, I know a lot of you folks out there are donating to stations that are outside of our area. Well, I got news for you folks. I didn't hear any fire reports from them. Maybe a little blurb here and there, but nothing that was, I would say, impacting. And here we were in the most dangerous situation that in my whole lifetime I have never experienced. And thank God that we had two radio stations, two local radio stations, KSRO and also KBBF. And KBBF, here we are. We're the bilingual station. We were broadcasting in English and Spanish for almost 24 hours. I mean, folks, we need to support our community radio. And I want to make a suggestion. You go on the website, kbbf.org. You go and you'll see on the right-hand corner this little thing called donation. You hit it, and then all of a sudden, everything will come up that you need to know and that you need to do on how to make a donation. And one of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to encourage sustainers. In other words, you can either do a $4.99 a month or a $9.99 a month. And all we do is we just take it out of your bank account every month. And that's, when you think about it, $49.99, it's under $100 a year and it's tax deductible. So I really want to encourage folks, please, please get online and donate, support your community radio. I mean, we were on the line in English and Spanish. In fact, I heard on KSRO, all of a sudden, there was a big shout-out, hey, we got to take care of our Spanish population. Well, that's who we are. We are English and Spanish, and they were straight English. But speaking about supporting thing, I have on the line with me Councilwoman Julie Combs. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Elaine.
Oh, my God, you sound so clear. Oh, thank you so much. This was such a last-moment thing. Well, I have a little surprise for you. I know that you're very much involved with the Migrant Education Program. Is that true? Can you give us a little background about that, and then I'm going to tell you what the surprise is.
Oh, okay. Well, the Migrant Education Program is a state program that helps students of migrant farm workers. And I really love this program. Targets students who are really trying to do good work at school and their families. But the program has had severe cutbacks. So I created the Migrant Family Education Fund to fundraise and provide the extra services that the family fund that the state program could no longer provide, and to meet bigger needs of the families. And since the fire, we've had a number of these families have loss of jobs because the jobs have burnt, or a couple of the families have lost everything, homes, cars, everything. And these are folks who were living on the edge anyway, receiving, migrant farm worker wages. So we're trying to keep the families together in school and surviving in a difficult economy. So Sunday night I spent 4 hours walking through the local area assistance center with six of the families, trying to make sure that they received all the possible services they could. We provide them with back-to-school clothing, shoes. Recently, we have helped with rent during the month of October when folks couldn't work, and so they couldn't pay rent. Blankets, pillows, Christmas treats, a wide variety of services just to make sure that the families can get by and the students can have a good school experience.
Well, it sounds like an absolutely wonderful program. And I want to tell you, it really, this whole idea has spread so far, so many people trying to help Sonoma County with this fire. My granddaughter, Amber Jensen, who is a teacher at the Laytonville Elementary Middle School, all of a sudden when she heard about the fire and she heard about all the things that were going on in Santa Rosa and Sonoma County and the surrounding areas, they did a bake sale and they raised $550 and then she went and emailed me and she said, Do you know, hey, G-Ma, they call me G-Ma. Do you know of any place that we can donate the money? And I said, I had no idea. And all of a sudden, this wonderful email comes across my desk. And I thought, wow. And then I find out that Councilwoman Julie Combs is at the head of this. And I just could not be more excited. So you're going to be getting a check for $550 coming from Laytonville for their bake sale. I want to do a shout out to the folks out there. And, we don't reach Laytonville, but we are streaming so they can hear us also.
How wonderful. Thank your daughter, Amber, and her class. Oh, that is amazing. And that goes a long way with our families. Thank you so much.
Do you have a website real quickly, Julie, before we end this?
It's best if people use the Facebook page. So look on Facebook, search Migrant Education Family Fund.
Say that again, Migrant?
Migrant Education Family Fund.
Well, Julie Combs.
On Facebook. Oh, thank you, Elaine. What a wonderful Monday morning surprise.
Well, I want to just ask you one last question. How did you fend with the fire? You're okay? I know a tree fell in your house.
Yes. Before it was a fire, it was a wind event, and we had a tree fall on our house, but we are just fine. We evacuated for a couple of days, but other than that, it's been very busy. And there's been a lot to do for the community as a council member.
Well, we're going to be at that meeting tomorrow night. There's going to be a joint between the council and the Board of Supervisors. I've already announced
historic. I don't think we've ever had a joint meeting like this.
Oh, my God, historic. Another historical event in Sonoma County. Well, it's Councilwoman Julie Combs, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the work that you do and for your, your loving, great personality.
Thank you. And back at you, Elaine. Thank you so much I just can't get over the donation. Thanks so much. It really will make a big difference.
Well, blessings to you, Julie.
Blessings, Elaine.
You take care.
Bye.
Oh, my God, it just makes me feel so good. That's what makes us feel good when we do good things. When we do good things for each other, it makes us feel good. It's almost like a rush, when you know that you've done something positive in your community. Well, I have another announcement to make. I just want everybody to know we have a secret guest in the audience. We have Mr. John Moots, who's running for sheriff here in Sonoma County. This is the second time he's been in the studio. I find a little space for him, a little chair. Let him sit there. Welcome here, John. Welcome and much success with your campaign. Thank you so much for being here. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and the song I'm going to be playing is Get Together by the Indio Girls, a reminder that it's all a mystery, and no matter what takes place, we will plant new seeds, new ways of doing things. Lots to learn from this fire. One thing that I've learned, I have much more compassion and empathy. There was nothing more startling than we were thinking about having to evacuate our home. What do we take? What do we need? How are we going to survive? Where are we going to go? We had that experience in Sonoma County, and guess what? Folks are having it across the globe because of all the wars and all the dissent that's going on. We have to start looking at our community. We have to start looking at what love means, what it means to come together as a community, what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. We call ourselves a Christian nation. When you got someone going and shooting up a church, that's not loving your neighbor as yourself. That's hate. And we have to look at that. Anyway, let's listen to Get Together. And when I return, I will be talking with Mary Moore and Karen Sari, who are both activists in our community. What we will be talking about this morning is a bit of history of Sonoma County, a report that both Mary and Karen, along with others, made happen, provided by the California Advisory Committee to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights about community concerns about law enforcement in Sonoma County, that I myself have been curious about for a long time, that continues to go on. It's just amazing. So let's hear Get Together by the Indio Girls.
Love is but a song we sing, is the way we die. You can make the mountains ring, or make the on the wing, you may not know. Some may come and some may go. We will surely pass. When the one that left us here returns for us at last, we are but a moment's sunlight fading in the grass. Yeah. Come on, people, now.
To love one another right now, right now. Boy, I love that song. You know, I got an email. It was very, very interesting. And somebody asked me, why do you play the whole song? Well, folks, to me, the song is a lesson. You know, you listen to the words. Listen to the words of the song as I play. I've picked them very, very precisely to try to fit the mood of the show that we're doing. And another challenge I have, finding these popular songs being sung by a woman, because this is Women's Spaces. Anyway, for you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holst. And without further ado, I want to introduce my two special guests in the studio with me, Mary Moore and Karen Sari. Welcome, ladies. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you.
Good morning,
Elaine. Oh, my goodness. Beautiful morning here in Sonoma County. Try to love each other, right? There's a lot of love in this room, a lot of activism in this room. You know, it's very interesting. You know, we have to give credit to people. You know, none of us are perfect. You know, we all have our little personalities and our little glitches here and there. But you know something? Activism is not an easy chore. Let me tell you something. You get a lot of abuse, not only from the people that you're fighting against, but the people you're fighting with. So it's very, very, very interesting time. Well, I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you ladies, if that's okay. What I do is just let folks know is that when I do an interview, I have people send me a short bio, and also I have them send me questions so I know exactly what is important to them, and then I kind of add to it. So let's talk about Mary Moore first. I've known Mary Moore for a long, long time. She's been a social justice activist, I can't believe this, since 1962. That's a long time ago.
Tell me about it.
Focusing on issues of racism, sexism, and classism. In the late 70s, she organized a statewide network to stop Diablo Canyon and Rancho Cieco nukes. Oh my God, look how far we've been. It's still happening. She also founded the Bohemian Grove Action Network in 1980 to raise awareness of the elite and small network of men with outsized influence that gather annually at the Bohemian Grove in Sonoma County. And I actually went to one of those marches. I'll never forget it. I mean, it was so shocking to me to even find out about that. She helped start a local movement against police abuse, getting the U.S. Civil Rights Commission to hold hearings in Sonoma County, and documenting the unacceptable amount of killings by police. She is currently working on an archive project for the Bancroft Library in Berkeley, California, and is writing a book. And another thing Mary does that's very interesting is she sends out email constantly. Well, some people get bugged by it, but I always look at it as, my God, I get all this information and someone's doing research for me. So thank you, Mary, publicly. Let's talk a little bit about Karen Sari. You know, Karen was very involved with this report with Mary, but what was so interesting is that she did a report where she put all the killings that were happening in Sonoma County, and when she sent me a copy of it and I looked at it, I said, if that's happening in our county, those many people, I mean, we're such a small little group. Imagine what's happening across the nation. Well, Karen, along with Mary and others, did a lot of organizing, which led to, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights to hold hearings in Sonoma County. And at that time, she made a presentation on the local deaths and attracted some national attention. And ultimately, I guess Project Censored offered to sponsor her in a research project to identify all police-related deaths in the U.S. for one calendar year, which was really amazing. You know, she also has a B.A. in history from the Russell Sage College and is currently works as a paralegal for a California appellate attorney and is also a professional organizer for self-employed professionals. So welcome. Boy, that's a lot. We have a lot of energy in this room. Well, you know, before we start, I know I'm talking a lot, but I want to give a little bit of history. You know, this report is very interesting. I have it in front of me right now. I want to give you the exact title to make sure that you folks understand what it is. It's called Community Concerns About Law Enforcement in Sonoma County. And it was a report by the California Advisory Committee to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. Well, I just want to give folks a little bit of history. In August of 2008, my dear friend Val Green Oak lost her son, Jesse Hamilton, who was only 24 years old. He was after a violent confrontation with Santa Rosa Police Department. And for me, one of the statements that I made to Val was, you live long enough, everything happens in your life. I never thought I would ever have anybody in my field that was killed by a police officer. And here was this young man. And she struggled and nothing happened. She could get nowhere. You know, it just accepted it happened and let's just go on from there. Well, 9 years passed. 9 years passed. And in 2013, on October 22nd, I will never forget opening the paper on October 23rd and seeing about this young boy, Andy Lopez, being shot. Not only was he was shot with 7 bullets in his young body and 2 that ricocheted into people's homes. Plus, while he was dead on the ground, he was rolled over and handcuffed. When I read that, I could not believe it. I said, I got to do something. I didn't know what to do. So the North Bay Organizing Project was having their annual meeting, and I just happened to be there. And Greg Serra from the casino in Rohnert Park got up and made an announcement and gave $7,000 to the family for funeral expenses. Well, at that time, they called me over because I do the radio show. They wanted me to meet the mother, Sergio Lopez Cruz. I went, they introduced me to her, I shook her hand, and we hit eyes, eyeball to eyeball. I looked into her eyes, I could feel the pain in her body. I could feel the pain in her husband's body, I could feel the pain in the children's bodies. And I looked at her and I said, I will do whatever I can to help bring justice for your son. I didn't even know what I was promising at the time. Well, about a week goes by, and they form this group called the JCAL, Justice Coalition for Andy Lopez. And at that time, all of a sudden, we heard from Mary Moore. Mary Moore wanted this booklet passed about this commission report that happened in 2000. I said, gee, what the heck is that? So I went and got the book and went through it and called Mary and said, we have got to make sure that everybody whoever is involved has a copy of this, because I do not understand how we could have this report in 2000 and this young boy some 13 years later, 2013, had this horrific situation happen. And that's how the coalition started, and that's how we used the booklet. We went to meetings, we brought it up, and it was almost like to dead ears. It really was. And I've always had a curiosity about it. And then all of a sudden there was kind of a little disturbance, like when did we first become aware of police violence in our community? Well, 2000 was a very, very important time. And I think what happened is that many of us do not understand or do not have any knowledge or any history of how that report happened, who helped bring it forward. And I thought it would be, this is perfect timing. Because we're having shootings all across the country. And people need to look at, they need to look at what's happening. They need to look at some suggestions. So that's why I brought Mary and Karen on. And it's been a long time getting this interview going. I mean, we even had the fire. We had to change dates. So I really appreciate you ladies being here. So let's start out. Let's start with you, Mary. What was happening in 1997 when the initial investigation was going on?
Well, actually, they came up in 98. But in 97, we had 8 law enforcement-related killings, and that's a lot for a small community in 1 year. And when we started keeping track, we started with James Hopper in 95. But in 97, it escalated. And Solomon Hernandez, many people that have listened to this station for years will remember that name. Quan Chung Kao, a Taiwanese man from Roner Park who was brandishing a broomstick. He was kind of in the middle of a breakdown. That's all he was doing. He was tossing a broomstick around. And they considered that to be a lethal weapon. So the point, and when you and I first got together on this concept of doing a radio program, was because I got up at the Board of Supervisors and said, this issue did not start with Andy Lopez.
Well, let's clarify that. The reason that you said that is not that you were demeaning.
Exactly.
You were trying to point out that
exactly.
We had this report
this
in 2000, and why wasn't it? Maybe if they had looked at it and implemented some things, we could have prevented this.
And that's the key. If they had implemented, we have recommendations in this report, and we'll go into that later, I'm sure. But we need to refocus on the recommendations from that report.
Okay, so you were let's stay with the history of the background here. So what happened? What propelled you all of a sudden? There was a huge group of people that got together. I know Patch was part of it, the police.
That came later.
Okay.
Patch came much later. But people like Anne Gray Bird and people that have been activists here for years, we got together. I think that's where Karen and I met.
Yeah,
was
we met at
that around time. That time. And there were just enough of us concerned to say, let's get the commission here. And Cruz Reynoso. People on this station will definitely know that name, national figure. He helped. And we got them to come up in 1998. I think it was February of that year. And then it took 2 years for them to
When they came up, how was it set up? Was it they interviewed you? How did they get the information?
Well, it was a panel, and a lot of people from the community testified, and the report has all that in there. And why our concerns were that there had been this big spate of killings in 97, but there had been some before that. And there were many that came afterwards, after the report. Jeremiah Chass comes to mind, who was 14, so it wasn't even a young child that was first killed. We had that back in the mid-2000s. It just was kind of an ongoing thing, and most of us were activists in other areas. So when this came up, we had to take a look, and I'm sure it didn't all start in the 90s. This has no doubt been going on.
Well, another thing that was interesting about this report, it was released, I believe.
In 2000.
But it was the interviews happened in 1998. Why did it take so long to get...
I don't think that they ever intended to do a report. I think that they came here, and it seemed to be like something... to calm the community down, as if they were getting some kind of national attention, and I don't think there was any real serious intent to do the report, but we, well, we pestered them.
Yeah, you know, that's putting it mildly.
Karen, what's so interesting, because I was doing the interview, I went back and I reread it again, you know, really read it very thoroughly to make sure that I had, you know, had it in my mind. Mm-hmm. And again, I said to myself, wait a minute. This happened. There was this report, all these recommendations, and we're still having problems. Right. I mean, it's not, I mean, we just had, you know, Branch Roth. And what was so interesting.
And the jail is a whole other issue.
But what was so interesting about Branch Roth is it was in Rohnert Park, and they specifically mentioned in the report that there were issues in Rohnert Park.
Mr. Cow, so 1997.
It's just amazing.
And in fact, I mean, when the commission came, we knew of 17 law enforcement related deaths, but since the commission came, there have been 80 more law enforcement related deaths.
80?
80.
Wow.
80. I'm including jail deaths, taser deaths.
Law enforcement related.
Car chase deaths. I call them law enforcement related deaths. But there have been 80 since the commission came and held hearings.
Well, one thing, Karen, I want to get into your piece. One thing that you did was you did a total chart. You did a whole chart. I have it in front of me. I printed it out. And I was sitting in my office, and I was looking at it, and I said, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This many, I mean, it's not, it's, I say unnecessary deaths.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is always a better way of handling things. But it's just amazing. So what was your involvement? How did you, what spurred you on all of a sudden to get involved?
Well, what was really interesting was that at the same time that the killings were happening in Sonoma County, I had become involved with a group in San Francisco that was a national group on this issue of police brutality. So I had become connected nationally, and then all of a sudden, I'm realizing it's happening in my own county.
And it's like the fire.
And
tell them the name of the group. The national group, O22, the date that Andy Lopez was killed.
The National Organization to Stop Police Brutality. But there were people in that group who were beginning to compile these charts. And coincidentally, at the same time, I just attained internet access. So I started reading all the California newspapers every day online. And then I started putting together all the deaths in California every day. And it was absolutely shocking to me and pretty much everybody else I showed it to, because every 3 days there was a killing in California at that time. So when it started happening here, I started, you know, keeping track here.
I'm playing with Karen's hand. Karen, it picks it up on the mic, sweetie, so go ahead, continue.
Oh, okay. In any event, that's how I got involved. It was just sort of this, a bunch of things came together. And I think the fact that I was connected with a national group, certainly from my standpoint, motivated me, inspired me to stay with this group and do the kind of, I'm good at research, that was my contribution.
Well, it's amazing, because when you look at it, on a report like that, and you see it all in one place.
Yeah.
It's stunning. You know, you say to yourself, wait a minute, did this happen in our community? And also, when you say 80 happened after this report, and you've got all these specific instructions on how to overcome this or how to work with it. Why do you think, I mean, the thing that's really got me perplexed, and it has to do with the news report this morning. You know, this morning they're talking about the killing in Texas, which 26
the
people
church,
and church, including young children, a pregnant woman.
Terrible.
At the same time, there's a report about called this Paradise Report, where you got these millionaires and billionaires taking money out of our country and putting it into other ways that, so they don't have to pay taxes. Yeah. You have to ask yourself, what is going on? I mean, what is going on in our country?
Well, we could get started on Bohemian Grove, but that's for another show.
No, but it's true. I mean, I don't understand. And I invite my listeners out there, anybody to email me at elaine@womenspaces.com if you have some sort of answer. What is it about people? I mean,
one word, Elaine, is plutocracy. And people can go look it up, do an internet search, whatever, but it's been with us for a very long time. I mean, since the founding.
What is the definition of plutocracy?
Well, oh gosh, put me on the spot here.
Why not?
Basically, the reason that we have protested for so long at Bohemian Grove was to expose the fact that, that later it got called the 1%. You know, when Occupy came to it, I wish I'd been the one to think that up, but unfortunately, we didn't have that back in 1980. But it is a very small group of white men that pretty much control the economy and our lives. And it sounds like some wild Alex Jones conspiracy theory, you know, but it isn't. And we've documented it over the years. And that's your answer. Now, how to effectively undo all that is the big question.
Okay, so, you know, I want to get into a little bit about what the recommendations were. But
yes,
right now, I'm going to take a musical break.
Okay.
Because you just got to take a little bit of a musical break here. And I'm going to play a song called Democracy. It was a Leonard Cohen song, Democracy is Coming to the USA. And the biggest challenge I have
is always
finding a woman singing this. So I did find somebody, and it's just amazing. So we're going to listen to Democracy Now, and it's sung by, it's a woman's band. It's called the Burns Sister Band. And when we come back, we will continue this discussion with Mary Moore and Karen Sari about the report that came into Sonoma County. It's called the Community Concerns About Law Enforcement, and it was a report by the California Advisory Committee to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. And before we we do the song, I just want to make a statement here. I want to send a deep feeling of love and condolences to my dear friends Marnie and Chris Roth, who lost their son Branch, that we did mention that he was tasered and died in Rohnert Park. And my heart just goes out to them, but I just wanted to say that. So here we go. Let's listen to Democracy by the Burn Sister Band. And when we come back, we will be continuing our conversation with Mary Moore and Karen Sari.
It's coming through a hole in the air, from those nights in Tiananmen Square. And it's coming from the feel that it ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the U.S. It's coming through a crack in the wall, on a visionary flood of alcohol. From the staggering account of the Sermon on the Mount, which I don't pretend to understand at all. It's coming from the silence on the dock of the bay, the brave, the bold, the battered, the heart of Chevrolet. Democracy is coming to the USA. It's coming from the sorrow in the streets, the holy places where the races meet, and from the homicidal bitching that goes down in every kitchen to determine who will serve and who will eat. From the wells of disappointment where the women kneel to pray for the grace of God in the desert here and the desert far away. Democracy is coming to the USA. Sail on.
sail on. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And we just had a horrific announcement that we have to make, or some news that we got. And Karen was by the door. So, Karen, sorry, you want to let the folks know what we were just told?
Oh, well, when we were taking in the break, we were talking about a very recent killing. It happened in Cloverdale. And apparently, I think it was a week or 2 weeks ago, last Saturday night, it was actually October 21st. There was a report of a prowler in a backyard around 1 o'clock in the morning, and five policemen showed up to deal with the situation. And according to newspaper reports, they found a man in the backyard, and he was apparently threatening the police with a hammer. And so two of the cops took it upon themselves to open fire and kill this man. Now, I don't understand why five policemen cannot take down one man armed with a hammer.
And it's gotten very little coverage. It has gotten, I think there are two very short stories in the local.
They talked about that this morning on Amy Goodman.
Oh, did
there,
they?
There was another shooting in Texas that where eight people were killed.
Yes.
That there was no information that somehow... That somehow they're hiding things for us. It's really, it's very, very
interesting. Well, it took a couple of days for the hammer part to come out in that story.
Oh, that's true.
Jesus. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And you know, folks, the most interesting thing that's happening right now in Sonoma County in 2018, we're going to have an election. And I have my fingers crossed that it continues. We actually have five people that are running. You know, and it's very, very important that we pay attention. We pay attention and we start asking questions. You know, it's one thing, you know, democracy is more than just putting a check on a ballot. You've got to know who you're voting for. It's your responsibility. When you vote for somebody, when you take that, it's an honor to be able to vote. I mean, there are countries that people are still dying to try to get the vote. So it's an honor. So when you hit that, when you put that information on the ballot and you don't know who you're voting for, you know, one of the things I try to encourage people, don't pay attention to all the fancy flyers. Go out and meet the people. Go ahead, Mary.
You mentioned that there is going to be an election with five candidates, but you didn't say what the election was for.
It's for sheriff. Sure.
And we have Mr. John Nutt sitting here.
We cannot.
Okay.
No. This is
well. You had already introduced him.
Right. No. But we. But the thing is that people need to pay attention.
That's
they
right.
They need to pay attention to who's running. Find out their background and ask questions. Go. There's public meetings where these candidates come out. I am so shocked that I only see a few people there half the time. Mm-hmm. You know, this is our lives that are on the line. We're voting for people to take care of us.
I think this sheriff's election is going to bring out the people because this is the first opportunity in this county since I've been an activist here where we've actually had a chance to have a say in the election. Usually it's already set for us.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, let's get back to the report. I mean, there's so much going on. We could just, you know, what's so wonderful about Women's Spaces is that we are women. And we're also mothers, and we're also sisters, and we're also wives. You know, we're all these different things. We want a more safer community. And one of the things that I absolutely saw on the fire was good government in action, because they pulled things together very quickly. And that's what we need, is good government. So let's talk, what were some of the recommendations in the civil rights, in the report?
Do you want to go ahead, Mary? You're going to put me on the spot. Well, I can't really come up with any of them specifically, but they're in the report. And to my knowledge, nobody official has taken a look at them and said, let's deal with these one by one. And Jerry Threet's office, it would seem to me, would be an ideal place for that to start.
Well, let's talk about
that. And you know who that is.
Right. That's one of the recommendations in the report was to have an oversight committee.
Okay.
And so what happened, let me just give a little history. What happened is after the Andy Lopez shooting, there was such a public outcry, I mean, so strong, that they developed this task force. And out of the task force came the idea of having, and there was a big argument, if you remember, over the word oversight.
Elaine, there is a history, I have a huge binder on it, of trying to get a civilian review board, which is different than an auditor's office.
Right.
We tried for years before the Andy Lopez killing to get a civilian review board. We could do a whole program on the attempt to get that up here.
But what happened was, at least, at the very least, the county did agree to have this task force, which was a miracle.
But that's very different.
How is it different?
It's different in the subpoena power is lacking. The investigative powers are lacking. It's basically, as Karen said at the very beginning of this program, it's kind of something to just give the community to quiet them down. And I have utmost respect for Jerry Threat. I have worked with him. I have utmost respect, but he's the first to admit he doesn't have the necessary powers to do real investigations.
How do you give them that power? I mean, what do you do?
Well, they have to have subpoena power.
That's
essential.
And they
have to have their own investigators. I mean, nothing can really happen from the citizen side until civilians are given that kind of power. And I'm a little vague on this, but I think there might have been some kind of law passed where there was at one time a movement throughout California around civilian review, which I think has, and I could be wrong, but I think I'm right, some kind of legislation has been passed. So civilians.
There are communities that have civilian review boards.
But they don't have subpoena power.
Right.
And they don't have investigators.
And that's always the sticking point.
You're just an oversight board. You're not anything. Even if you're called civilian review, without subpoena power, without the ability to investigate.
And that's something we could take very seriously up here. And if we have to go to Sacramento and get the law changed, then so be it. But the point is, the community needs the power in there. And it wouldn't hurt to have a sheriff that we all can trust in there, too, to help with that process. That would be very nice.
The thing that is so perplexing to me is why it's so difficult. It doesn't, you know, when you start thinking about it, what are you trying to do? You're trying to set up a situation where if there's a killing like this one in Cloverdale, that you have a place to go to do an investigation, and that you have the ability to subpoena witnesses to tell you what they saw and what they thought. And then you make a report. Okay. Why in your experience has that been so difficult to bring forward in this county?
Because it could create real change.
Well, the police unions are enormously powerful, and they have legislation and lobbies that there are so many protections. We can't, as civilians, we can't get a hold of their personnel records.
Well, there's another question. These people in the police union, they are police. They are human beings. They have wives. They have children. They have homes to protect. Why all of a sudden do you have to protect instead of advise on how you do things a little bit differently? I mean, that is...
There's a concept called circle the wagons. No, I mean, seriously, it is exactly what happens in the cases.
It's like like the Paradise Report, you know, they're giving all their money in Paradise, you know, it's circle.
And the Thin Blue Line, all of this, there is a camaraderie in the culture, in the police culture. And it's always been there. It's part of it.
This is what's confusing to me. Are you saying because of the culture that they make it okay to do all these things? They justify it and they make.
I don't think they sit around and say, "Oh, we're gonna fool them." But I think there is a self interest in there, obviously. And Karen brings up the police unions; they are extremely strong. What we have as activists is unpaid people who are trying to deal with so many issues. Believe me, there's more than just this issue.
But not only the activists, but you also have their families telling them they're radical. Why are they doing this? And, you know, like one of the things that always blew me away was my mother used to say, there's two things we don't talk about at the dinner table. That's politics and religion. And I say to myself, wait a minute, those are the things that really govern our lives.
Yeah, that's a different dinner table.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, It's like, why can't we talk about these things? You know, I mean, it because they are so important. And I, that's why I personally, I feel like I'm on a mission, because I believe that I believe in a great, in a higher power. I believe in a great spirit. And as women, we were charged with the ability to bring forth life. And that's why I believe it's so important that women stand up and say, no more killing of our children. It's not that we, you know, I personally, when, especially I want to go back to the fire, there was nothing more reassuring than hearing from our sheriff. He was very reassuring. He was very kind.
He even took on ice.
He was such. There's a Yiddish word my grandmother used to, when we sit around the table. If you got the title mensch, if my grandma said you're a mensch, mm-hmm. I mean, that made your month, that made your year. He was a mensch. And so when you see what is possible, and then you see what is going on, you ask yourself.
That's,
you know,
why some of us are working so hard to get a good sheriff in there, and we have a great candidate.
No, you're not allowed to. Okay.
I know.
Okay, so tell me what, at this point in time, what are some of the things that you are trying to do? I mean, what, for example, your list, Karen, what is it that you have done with it? How are you presenting it? Have you been able to present it?
Well, I, as we talked about, it will be going up on Facebook within a couple of weeks, so that it is available to everybody. But I think it is, as you said, I mean, and you've been involved in this issue for some time. You just recently looked at my list and how shocking it is. And I think that until you see it in a spreadsheet, you don't really understand the extent of it. I mean, most killings, like that one in Cloverdale, well, it was in the newspaper for a couple of days, and it's never, ever mentioned again.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been 80 law enforcement-related deaths since the hearings were held. The newspaper has never put that together.
Well,
never.
I think when you look at our culture now, with the way, you know, the housing situation, the unemployment situation, you know, people are so trapped into trying to survive, yeah, that when these things go on, it becomes like a second nature.
Yeah.
And there's also the concept of diversion. When I talk about the plutocracy, one of the things that Americans, the culture that we live in, is to divert from very serious issues like this. This is a serious issue. Most people don't want to sit around and face it. The fire became a huge story because it was right here. It was in front of us. We couldn't avoid it.
Yeah, but there's two issues. You're talking about the issue of police brutality and mm-hmm. and the killings, but also with the fire, what they're not talking about is global warming.
Well, exactly.
You know, yeah, it's
those
almost
are the uncomfortable things, and we live in a culture that is very distracted. And there's a lot of money behind that distraction.
Well, I want folks to know that I'm very uncomfortable about what's going on. So we have to move out of our comfort zone. Well, folks, we are coming to the end of our segment. This has been a very lively and exciting conversation. I've learned a lot. I hope my listeners, I hope, you know, folks, come on, give me an email. Email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. Let me know that you're listening. Ask questions. Don't be afraid. I love when I get an email. It's really exciting. And also, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of the show about trying to support KBBF. You know something? We need to support our community radio. We need it more now than we ever had. Why? Because we're the voice of the people. We talk. We're having honest, open conversations. There's no commercial interruptions here. You know, we're just straight out. So it's very important that we support our local stations. So any last words, ladies, anything that you'd like to share, anything that's on your mind?
I would like to say.
And websites.
I would like to say that, speaking of Andy Lopez, and it didn't start with him. However, a man named Ron Rogers, Blue Coast Films, is almost finished with his film. He's made an exceptional film about Andy Lopez, and it's going to be released in probably a matter of a month or so. So people should watch.
You got to keep me abreast of it.
That would be great. I'll let you know, and maybe you can announce it when it's finally done. And that's big. Nobody's ever come to our community and said, "Let me make a film about this." And he's worked for 4 years. He's worked for 4 years to get this thing done on a shoestring.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, sometimes, like the global warming thing, it took a fire in Sonoma County all of a sudden for us wake up, you know, and it took the shooting this young boy. And I'll tell you, it took the most important thing about the Andy Lopez situation was, is that it came at a time when the community finally said enough is enough. It was like a spearhead. I know it really got me going. It got me going very strong, and we would have never, this never would have come to my attention if it weren't that. So let's have some, any last words from you, Karen? Anything you'd like to share with our listeners? Any website you'd like to give? Or I know you're going to have a website that you thought was going to be launched today, but it's gotten a little bit complicated.
Well, actually, it's going to be a Facebook page, and I will let you know as soon as it's up and running. And people will be able to go there and take a look at my spreadsheets, which I think is a real good way to come to understand what's going on in our county.
Can I make a recommendation?
Sure.
Put the report on there.
You mean the...
all
right.
Yeah, because then people can read it. You know, because who has access to it?
Especially the recommendations.
Yeah, I mean, even if you just put, a little bit parts of it.
Yeah, okay.
And I want to thank all the folks that have worked on it, and that I really appreciate both of you being here. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. This has been a very informative discussion. You know, even though Mary, I just want to tell you that thank you so much for helping both of you, for helping put this together. It's a very important piece of work. And you know something, it doesn't matter who was the first, who was the last, who was in the middle. It doesn't matter. The most important thing is that we've got it.
Right.
We've got recommendations. We've got a viable body of people that came up and said, this is what Sonoma County has to do, and now the next step is for us to get educated.
And now we have work to do.
It never stops. You know, it keeps me young. You know, Mary and I are, we're a little bit older. She's actually
speak for yourself.
She's actually
Elaine.
My elder.
She's actually everybody's
my
elder.
So, you know, we're up there, and we've been working very hard trying to make it a better world for our children. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, that's it for our show. Special thank you to Mary Moore and Karen Sari, who are both activists in our community, providing us with a great background and information about something that I've been curious about for a long time, the California Advisory Committee to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, about community concerns about law enforcement in Sonoma County. That I'm telling you something, it is a marvelous report. Thank you both for doing such great work and for being here on Women's Spaces. A reminder, tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. on Monday evenings. That's tonight. I'm so excited I get to listen to my own program. Also, I am available for speaking engagements. And if you have any birthdays or anniversaries you'd like to have on the air, do not hesitate to email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. Remember, our children are the future. We must never lose sight of that. One recommendation I have to our trusted leaders, and we do trust them when we vote for them, that before you make any decision, you ask one important question. Is it good for the children? Because if it's not good for the children, it's not good for the future. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Everything you do because a woman in your